Conclusion. Sacred laws change according to the ages. Indeed, in one age different prophets may come, and they have come. Since subsequent to the seal of the prophets, his greater Sharia is sufficient for all peoples in every age, no need has remained for different laws. However, in secondary matters, the need for different schools has persisted to a degree. Just as clothes change with the change of the seasons and medicines change according to dispositions, so sacred laws change according to the ages, and their ordinances change according to the capacities of peoples. Because the secondary matters of the ordinances of the Sharia look to human circumstances, they come according to them, and are like medicine. At the time of the early prophets, since social classes were far apart and men's characters were both somewhat coarse and violent, and their minds, primitive and close to nomadism, the laws at that time came all in different forms, appropriate to their conditions. There were even different prophets and laws in the same continent in the same century. Then, since with the coming of the prophet of the end of time, man as though advanced from the primary to the secondary stage, and through numerous revolutions and upheavals reached a position at which all the human peoples could receive a single lesson and listen to a single teacher and act in accordance with a single law, no need remained for different laws, neither was there necessity for different teachers. But because they were not all at completely the same level and did not proceed in the same sort of social life, the schools of law became numerous. If, like students of a school of higher education, the vast majority of mankind were clothed in the same sort of social life and attained the same level, then all the schools could be united. But just as the state of the world does not permit that, so the schools of law cannot be the same. If you say, the truth is one, how can the different ordinances of the 4 and 12 schools be true? The answer. The same water governs in 5 different ways in 5 ill people of different disposition, thus. For one, the water is a cure for his illness, and according to medicine, necessary. For another, it is like poison for his sickness and harmful, and medically prohibited. For another, it causes a small amount of harm, and is reprehensible medically. For another, the water is beneficial and without harm, according to medicine that is sunnah for him. And for yet another, it is neither harmful nor beneficial. He can drink it with good health, and for him it is medically permissible. Thus, here the truth has become numerous. All 5 are true. Are you able to say, the water is only a cure, only necessary, and it governs in no other way? Similarly, impelled by divine wisdom, the divine ordinances change according to the schools of law and those who follow them, and they change as truth, and all are true and right. For example, since, in accordance with divine wisdom and determining, the majority of those who follow Imam Shafi'i are closer to village life and nomadism than the Hanafis, and are lacking in social life, which makes the community like a single body, each person recites the Fatiha behind the prayer leader so as to himself express his pains at the court of the dispenser of needs and utter his private wishes. And this is absolutely right and pure wisdom. However, since most Islamic governments favored the school of Imam-i-Azam, the great majority of those who follow that school are closer to civilization and town life and more fitted for social life. Thus, the community becomes like a single individual and one man speaks in the name of all. All affirm him with their hearts and bind their hearts to his and his word becomes the word of all. According to the Hanafi school, the Fatiha is not recited behind the prayer leader. And its not being recited is absolutely right and pure wisdom. And, for example, since through forming a barrier against the assaults of nature, the Sharia modifies it and trains the evil commanding soul. According to the Shafi'i school, most of whose followers are villagers, semi-nomadic, and occupied in manual labor. Ablutions are spoilt by touching a woman. The slightest uncleanliness is harmful. While according to the Hanafi school, since the great majority of its followers have entered social life and become semi-civilized, touching women does not spoil the ablutions. There is license for a small amount of uncleanliness. Now we shall consider a manual worker and a gentleman. Due to his craft and the manner of his livelihood, a worker is afflicted with mixing with and being in contact with women who are canonically strangers to him. Since he sits at the same hearth as them and is involved with unclean things, nature and his evil commanding soul find the field empty and may attack him. Therefore, in order to form a barrier against such attacks, the Sharia states concerning them, "Your ablutions will be spoiled. Do not touch the women. Your prayers will be invalid. Do not be tainted." A heavenly voice rings in his spiritual ears. Whereas, in accordance with social custom and in the name of common morality, the gentleman, on condition he is honorable, is not afflicted with being in contact with women who are canonically strangers to him, and in the name of cleanliness of civilization, he is not tainted to any degree with unclean things. Therefore, in the Hanafi school, the Sharia has not shown him harshness and censure, it has shown its permissive side, and lightened it. If your hand has been touched, your ablutions are not spoiled. If you are ashamed and do not perform the istinja in public, there is no harm in it. A small amount of uncleanliness is permitted. It saves him from scruples. Thus, two drops from the ocean as examples for you. Make analogies with them, and if you can, balance them on the scales of the Sharia in this way, with the balance of Sharia's mizan. Glory be unto you, we have no knowledge save that which you have taught us, indeed you are all-knowing, all-wise. Quran, 2:32. O God! Grant blessings and peace to the one in whom were embodied the lights of your love through the beauty of your attributes, the comprehensive mirror to the manifestations of your most beautiful names, in whom was focused the rays of your love for the art which is in your creatures, the most perfect and wonderful of your artifacts, who was a sample of the perfections of your art and an index of the beauties of your inscriptions, and who reflected the subtleties of your love and your desire that your art be appreciated, the most elevated herald of your fine art, who proclaimed in resounding voice admiration for the beauty of your inscriptions, the most wonderful praiser of the perfections of your art, who reflected together in his being the varieties of your love and your appreciation for the good morals of your creatures and the subtleties of your artifacts' qualities, comprehending all fine conduct and good morality through your favor and the subtleties of commendable attributes through your grace, who is the most excellent criterion and measure of everything you mention in your criterion of truth and falsehood, the Quran, those whom you love from among the righteous, the patient, the believers, those who fear you, who turn to you, and who repent, and all the classes of those whom you infuse with life and honor through your love in your criterion of truth and falsehood, until they become as the leader of those whom you love, the master of those beloved by you and chief of your beloveds, and grant blessings and peace to all his family and companions and brothers. Amen. Through your mercy, O most merciful of the merciful.